board evaluations. What does good really look like? This is part two. You might have listened to part one. In part one, we highlighted that the Corporate Governance Code in the UK is a blueprint for corporate governance codes worldwide. Nowhere else is the practice of conducting board evaluations more advanced. Nowhere else do more boards of listed organizations conduct board evaluations on a regular basis. In part two, we talk about what next? So you have now the results of your board evaluations. What should follow? I'm delighted to talk with Maureen Beresford, Head of Corporate Governance at the Financial Reporting Council. I'm Dr. Sabine Demkowski, founder and managing partner of Better Boards. We make the boards of the most ambitious organizations more effective. Our mission at Better Boards is to contribute to creating better boards. We do this by providing clients with an evidence-based approach for board evaluations and board development programs and making our platform accessible to other organizations. To fulfill our mission, we give a voice to all who care about creating better boards. Maureen, thank you so much for being with us again. Thank you for contributing to the Better Boards podcast series.
No problem. It's great to be here again. Thank you, Sabine.
So in our previous discussion, we focused on the data gathering part of a board evaluation. And this podcast focuses on what happens when you basically have the results. What is, in your view, a good output of a board evaluation?
I think you've almost got to take a step back before you answer that question. I think the output has got to be agreed at the beginning of the exercise. And I would say that it could and perhaps should be all of the issues that, you know, you think about when considering a board evaluation. Is it a report? Is it a conversation? Is it a presentation? So I think you've got to think about all those. And I would say, in most cases, not just doing one of those things is enough. I think issue and report a report without the opportunity for a discussion with the board, it can lead to misunderstandings or prioritising different elements of that report or focusing on specific issues that maybe one or two members of the board or the chair or the co-sec kind of home into. So I think as an evaluator, or if it's the chair that did their own evaluation, you've got to kind of unpick the findings a little bit. And I think you can only do that by holding a kind of a meeting or a discussion to allow for an open and frank discussion on what the findings are, what the recommendations are, and what are the next steps. And I think opportunities to engage as a unit, as a board, is really valuable. Verbally describing the findings of an evaluation is not enough. We should be encouraging companies not to take the approach to kind of just issuing the report and then saying, okay, we're going to action 1, 2, and 3 without that discussion. I think it's really important. But I do think, you know, there might be some controversial areas in the report. So it might be that there's a need to kind of have a pre-meeting, perhaps with a chair or a co-sec, to kind of lay the ground and then decide how you will impart that information to the board or perhaps even individuals, who knows. But I think it's a stage approach on the outputs. That would be my view anyway. You may differ.
No, I wholeheartedly agree. I think it's very important before you present anything to the board that you have this meeting with a company secretary, with a chair. They need to be in the know and discuss with them how you present something to the board, because boards hate nothing more than surprises.
Absolutely. And you don't want to alienate anybody. You want to make sure that everybody comes along with you and engages. And as I said in the last podcast, I see it as that opportunity.
Absolutely. And talking about opportunities, you know, sometimes I see such fantastic results and I'm thinking, gosh, this is so rich, such fantastic data and insights. And then sadly, I see quite often not much happening. So when all of this is done, organizations need to do more. So it doesn't end there. You mentioned in our last podcast about the reporting on a board evaluation. The practice varies really widely what is written about board evaluations in annual reports, doesn't it?
It's so mixed. And it's also very difficult when you're looking at disclosures in an annual report to try and work out what's behind the disclosure. So when you read the report, you might think that's not great. But if a poor job has been done in explaining what action's being taken, it leads the reader to think that nothing's happened at all. Equally, some annual reports might say there's lots and lots of things going on and kind of big up, let's say, some of the actions. So it's really difficult to evaluate just from reading the annual report what's going on, and it's so mixed. What I should say, though, is that many companies do comply with the requirements of the corporate governance, but there is this evidence of boilerplate language, again, that we mentioned in our last podcast. Lots of references to the board working effectively together, or NEDs are offer an effective challenge in the boardroom. As I said, very little insight into what this means. What does that actually mean? You know, examples would really help. Tell us when a NED has offered challenge, you know, what has been the impact of that challenge and what has been the output? That's something that we talk about a lot when we're reviewing reporting against the corporate governance code. Tell us what that means to your company, because it doesn't really say anything if you've just got a declaratory statement there. Did something lead to more creative thinking or the introduction of more ideas or approaches? We quite often see that companies say, oh, we'll be doing more on diversity. Well, does that mean that the board needs to be more diverse? Does it mean those that report to the board need to be more diverse? Does it mean across the company? It's really not clear when you just get that general statement. And I would also say trying to link things up across an annual report would be really, really helpful. This is something that we've been talking about for a while at the FRC. If an evaluation says we're going to look at improving the diversity of the board, that should be reflected in the disclosures around succession planning, and it should be reflected the diversity policies or the targets of the board. And it often appears that there's such rich information coming from a board evaluation that it could impact across the whole kind of company and across the report. And I think that's a real opportunity to paint a picture, you know, of the outcomes of a board evaluation. And it's just as though, you know, someone needs to stitch it all together and say, we've got this really good project or recommendation. Let's see how it fits in a holistic way throughout the company.
Can you give maybe some tips or advice? What should chairs and company secretaries really think about when reporting on a board evaluation?
I think the company secretary has got is in a pivotal position to kind of drive forward some of the actions that come out of an evaluation. You know, they're the ones that know what's going on agendas for board meetings. They're the ones that are talking to the chair about what should be on the agenda, how things are moving forward, collecting information sometimes across a company. And so I think the company secretary can really kind of ensure that progress against an action is being taken forward and ensure that it's discussed maybe quarterly at board meetings to actually maintain that momentum. And also make sure that there's follow-up in the following year's annual report so that it's just not a once-in-time look at a board evaluation. You know, what's happened 1 year on, maybe 2 years on? And we have seen some companies both backwards looking at their evaluations and then forward looking at it, and they see it as a kind of a move through time almost. What did we say last year? How have we achieved this? What are we doing next year? And that's a great way of reporting. I think the chair needs to ensure and ask themselves whether the evaluation is bespoke and in both its formulation and delivery. Is it actually getting to the details of this company? Is it really reaching the needs of the company? Or are we just taking something off the shelf that actually won't look at the specific areas that we need to think about within this company? And I think when an evaluation is externally facilitated, it's about the chair making sure that the board is happy with the external facilitator, that they understand why that person's been chosen and what their remit is. So I think the COSEC and the chair have absolutely crucial roles to play in making sure that an evaluation is effective.
Now, you're always keen to inspire good practice. What does good really look like? Do you have maybe some examples? I fully understand you can't mention specific companies, but maybe a description of what good really looks like.
What you've got to start with is saying that good is very different for different companies. I can't sit here and say, you know, if you disclose this, and this, the FRC as a regulator will say you've done a good job. But I would say, you know, what I suggested in my last answer, you know, giving a period of time for your evaluation. So looking both backwards and forwards, I think is really important to see how it fits together. And also looking across areas. I've broken it down into the annual report. So it's basically thinking about if the board, if the evaluation says culture's important, you know, how does that impact on ESG matters, on working with the employees, how does it work with setting a remuneration policy, etc. I think linking the evaluation in to other issues within the company is a really good way of explaining the importance of the evaluation. And I think being clear where there have been success, if there have been actions, an annual evaluation, what have you actually achieved? How have you implemented change? What has it done? How has it impacted the company? Mm-hmm. And I think being honest as well. And I say this a lot when I'm talking on podcasts or at meetings. And one company, or well, two companies always stick with me, and I can't say who they were, honestly. But they said in their reporting, actually, we recognise that we'd failed in this area, but we're actually doing X, Y, and Z to improve this.
Mm-hmm.
And we've understood the problems doing X or Y, and we're taking these next steps. And I think it takes a real drive from the top to be able to say in an annual report, whether it's about a board evaluation or anything else, that the company's actually noted that there is room for improvement and being clear about what's going to say, rather than glossing over it. And the glossing over, in my view, is giving those declaratory statements without any kind of evidence to support them or any details of how they're going to improve things going forward.
So what you describe is basically the one-to-one on good leadership.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good leadership principles also here, yeah?
Yeah, good leadership, honesty, drive, talking about things that matter to everybody, yeah.
So we have now the results, the final presentations are done, and the text for the annual report is written. What next?
I think it's, again, some of the issues that we've touched on, you know, continuous monitoring of the action plans, setting targets, setting milestones, making sure that recommendations are followed after the evaluation has been completed, and being confident about success. And if you don't achieve a milestone, setting one that you can achieve. We all know that plans get hijacked sometimes, things change, but not letting the issues drop off the table, making sure if you don't achieve something after 3 months, 6 months, it's still there, you've not forgotten about it. I just think it's so important for the evaluation to be there and to be followed through time to the next one and the following one, etc.
So now let's summarize again. What should board evaluation disclosures include in your view?
I think we've only got a little time, so I'll try and be brief. I think we've got to give some outline of how the evaluation's been conducted, what the objective was, what the scope was, identify the different processes that were used, whether, you know, we talked about data in the last podcast, whether it was data that was sought, whether there were interviews, who oversaw the process and who undertook the evaluation. Definitely outcomes and actions. We talked about that a little bit. And about joining up, something that I've talked about probably too much in this podcast. And I would also say where there's been an external reviewer, and you know, we say in the code every 3 years, there should be a external review. The name of the organisation, any connections to the company, and what the extent of the contact with the board was. And I think that's important because, you know, we talked earlier about, is it sufficient just to sit in on one board meeting? Should there be individual meetings? Should there be small group meetings, etc.? So a bit more flavour on that, I think, is something that we'd like to see.
Fantastic, Maureen. Thank you so, so much for contributing to the Better Boards podcast series.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
How can we help you and your board? We at Better Boards are always delighted to hear from you. Get in touch if you have any questions. Get in touch if you would like to see a demo of our platform. You can best reach us at info@better-boards.com. Thank you for listening.